live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 20th day of November, 2025. Are you in the process of looking for a church to join? Perhaps you just moved to an area and you don't know what congregation to join yourself to, or perhaps you've left a church already for some reason or another, and you're trying to evaluate as you visit different churches which one you should join. Or perhaps you're already in a church and you're experiencing some kind of disagreement or conflict, and you're wondering if you should depart from that congregation. Well, if that's you, you're going to want to listen to today's program. And in fact, if you know anybody that fits that description, contact them immediately and tell them to jump on ironsharpensironradio.com to listen to the live stream program today on the theme, Joining and Leaving a Church, Right and Wrong Reasons to Take Either Step. And today we have a returning guest on the program to address that issue, Christian McShaffery, pastor of Five Solas Church, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, and vice chairman of the Bonson Institute. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Christian McShaffery.
Well, thank you, Chris, for having me back. The honor is all mine, and it's a very important topic that we'll be discussing tonight. I look forward to it.
Amen. And a shout out to my dear friend, Pastor Bill Shishko, who was supposed to join us originally today for this conversation, pastor of the Haven Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Commack, Long Island, New York. But he has some pretty agonizing back problems today and had to sit this one out. But we look forward to Pastor Shishko's return to the program at some point in the future when he is feeling better. As we always do, Pastor McShaffery, we have our guests, especially when they're pastors, describe briefly the congregation where they serve. And I'd like you to do that in regard to Five Solas Church in Reedsburg, Wisconsin.
Sure. I moved to Reedsburg, Wisconsin in 2003 after graduating from Mid-America Reformed Seminary. I was called here as an evangelist or a church planter. So the main goal was to build a core group and to organize a church. Through God's grace and over some 20 years of ministry, we are completely established, self-supporting, self-propagating, and a warmly knit together body of Christ. So I thank God for his goodness. We are located about 15 minutes from the Wisconsin Dells, which is a popular vacation spot for people, which blesses us with visitors from all sorts of Reformed and Presbyterian churches every summer. So if you're ever in the area, please stop by and join us.
Great. And the website is fivesolas.church, and that's the word five, F-I-V-E, solas.church. And God willing, I'll be repeating that website later on in the program. Well, this can be one of the most important decisions a human being who is a Christian can make in their lives, when to join a church, what criteria should be considered, what elements should be present, and also when that sad day comes, when one is prayerfully considering leaving a church where they were already a member, when it is appropriate to leave. But I know that this is a topic of great concern for you. And before we even address specifics, can you share with my listeners why?
Joining a church seemed natural enough to me when I first came to Christ. But when I became a church planner, I had to face the fact that there's a deep spirit of independency in our current culture that leads to a certain personal autonomy, leaving people unconnected, unattached, unaccountable. I remember as a church planner, I had to write monthly reports to our home missions agency, and they would ask how many people I witnessed to, how many contacts were made, how many visitors we had, etc. And also, how many new members. And as a church plant, I had the distinct displeasure of attracting every malcontent within three counties. And they would stay for a few weeks, sometimes a few months, and move on. They were looking for some new thing under the sun, and we weren't it. So building that core group of dedicated brothers and sisters who are willing to work together and worship together, live and die together in covenant community, is something I longed for and something I sometimes despaired of as I met all of these modern Christians. And they had these, you know, objections. Where does the Bible command it? Show me a verse, chapter and verse, thou shalt join a local church. And they'd say things like, well, it's just a piece of paper. Who says I need to sign on a piece of paper? They'd say, I'm a member of the body of Christ globally. And they had all of these things by which they comforted their souls. But there was great inconsistency there because they join Amazon Prime, they join Netflix, they join clubs, they join gyms, other organizations. But when it came to the church, it seemed that people wanted to keep a safe distance so that they could just do what they wanted. So we had to sift through people and be patient and wait for those who were serious about serving the Lord. And I just taught on the doctrine of sphere sovereignty at church here in our Sunday school class. Nobody doubts membership when it comes to the family. I mean, you could come and sleep on my couch for a few days and you're not a member of my family. And nobody doubts membership when it comes to a nation. That's why so many conservative Christians are passionate about immigration reform and enforcement. But there's that inconsistency when it comes to the church, the kingdom of God. Where does it say I have to be a member? And we can explore some of those verses tonight. I think we will, but that's kind of the background of my passion concerning this topic.
And I have been a Christian since the 1980s. Thank God I have always been in what I believe to be a wonderful body of believers, faithful to the scriptures. I was saved out of Roman Catholicism in my mid-20s. And thankfully, I was saved in a church that was theologically reformed, so I didn't have to unlearn anything later on, because the evangelical spectrum is broad and has a lot of nonsense and heresy intermingled with those that are theologically sound. So I'm just glad that the Lord spared me of that. But in all the years I've been a Christian, especially working in Christian media and meeting so many people, I have become very disappointed by the shallow reasons that people join a church, the things that they have lifted up in their minds to possess the utmost importance. Are things that are not, in my estimation, the most important things in the scriptures to be looking for. And very often It is because, oh, they have such a wonderful musical program. They have musicians that rival the music you hear at a Broadway play. And they have so many activities for the children. And on we could go. And I have known a number of people who shared my theological and doctrinal convictions and yet joined churches that do not believe in these things that we both share because they wanted something that fit into the description that I just mentioned. They wanted a wonderful musical program, and they had wanted lots of things to do for the kids. And sometimes I get the impression that they want to be in a very large and heavily populated church so that they can kind of melt into the background. And sometimes I fear it's because they desire to avoid any kind of scrutiny at all from elders. But tell us about what you believe should be a primary concern when people are looking for a church to join.
Absolutely, but first let me just agree with you. Those are the wrong reasons to choose a church. And if you think about biblical history, Aaron gave the people wonderful music while Moses was up in the mountain. They had a great time. It was a big party while the pastor was away. But it was the golden calf. And it invoked the Lord's anger and wrath upon the congregation because it was carnal. But as for positively, what we look for in a church is, first of all, that it be a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also grew up as a Roman Catholic, so I understand your experience and can appreciate that. Deliverance from that popery is a wonderful blessing. But it also leads us to make a distinction between true churches and false churches, because the Roman Catholic Church and even many Protestant churches and cults would have the name Christian on their billboard, but it doesn't always mean they are a true church of Christ. Our understanding is that Christ only established one true church. He established his kingdom on earth. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But that doesn't mean the gates of hell don't try. And the first step is corrupting true churches. And we can admit that all churches on earth are impure to some extent. There's no such thing as a pure church. So don't let that deter you in your search. I speak to your listeners. But there is a spectrum between true and false. And the true churches in this world are evident. They can be tested and proven by Scripture. And the ones that have become synagogues of Satan have to be marked and avoided. So we need to understand what to look for, and what we call it, at least historically, is the marks of the true church, developed in the Belgic Confession, I think I remember correctly. And it's 3 points. The preaching of the true gospel, which we should go through point by point. But then secondly, the right administration of the sacraments, there being only two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And then also the diligent exercise of church discipline, that is a faithful, an integrity-filled process of bringing people in and also putting people out, depending on the state of their souls. So those are the three things that we're going to have to go through to evaluate any local church. But the most evident probably will be the preaching of the true gospel, because sermons take up a good half of the service in any given church. And the true gospel has been defined historically as the 5 solas of the Reformation. First is grace alone. That it's God's unmerited favor that is the only ground of our salvation. No works, grace alone. Also, faith alone, which means the alone instrument of our justification is faith. We believe God's word. We believe and receive his promise. Christ alone stands at the center because he's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Scripture alone. This is going to be a tricky one in many churches, but is the Bible the final arbiter of truth? Does it have the final word in all doctrine and practice? The answer has to be yes. And then to God alone be the glory is the overarching criteria. And this, you will see a difference. Who is the spotlight on, as it were? The singers up front, the celebrity pastor in his skinny jeans, or are our hearts lifted heavenward to give glory only to the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? So the marks of the true church are three. The five solas are five, and they have to be the criteria as you visit any given church.
So I'm assuming then that when people are visiting churches, they should be listening diligently to the sermons. They should be afterward, or even beforehand, perhaps it'd be wiser, especially beforehand, to ask questions of those in leadership about what that church believes and teaches. And then it would be more of a matter of how the church presents itself as a corporate body of Christ, a local gathering of the sheep of Christ's flock. And this is where it may become more difficult, because as I'm sure you would agree, there are churches out there that are right on the money when it comes to their doctrinal positions. They may have a flawless confession of faith. Well, as far as flawless, I mean, as far as the writings of men can be flawless. Nothing is flawless except for the inerrant scriptures. But you may agree with a lot of the things that they have on paper. But you may have come to notice, or perhaps have heard from trustworthy brethren, that there is perhaps a dictatorship going on in that church with heavy-handed elder rule, or perhaps it's the opposite. Perhaps you have elders that are milquetoasts who are terrified of offending anyone in the church because they don't want to lose anyone. And that's primarily because they don't want to lose the money that comes with those people. And so you have no discipline at all being conducted in the church. And you may have a theologically sound church when it comes to teaching, but then when it comes to practice, you may come to find out that there are unrepentant adulterers in the church that are not being disciplined. Yeah. We could go on and on with that. Right. Do you have any thoughts on that? How, after you've already established the soundness of what a church teaches, how about how they seek to live out those things?
Sure. And to backtrack a little bit, before you ever visit a church, you do need to do some homework. And Chris mentioned, you know, the statement of faith or the book of doctrine. And you can find that on most churches' website. If they don't have one, don't visit there, because it means they don't take doctrine seriously. And to help your listeners, I'll throw out a couple phrases that they can look for. Three forms of unity is a green light. Westminster Confession is a green light. 1689 Baptist London Confession is a green light. And you should look for those kind of phrases. And if they choose not to put a full statement of faith on, but rather some kind of summary, you need to watch for even small things. Like, there was this one Baptist church in my town who used the word personalities rather than persons.
Wow.
In describing, yeah, the three persons of the Godhead. You know, so I called one of the elders I knew there and I said, are you guys making a mistake, or are you really oneness? And he was mortified, and he fixed it immediately.
Wow.
Yeah, so they just copied and pasted off another church. And you have to be careful about that kind of stuff. Know your theology. Read the statements of faith on the website. And by all means, call. And this has, by the way, been a frustration for me, and this could help pastors who are looking for good people. Answer your phone. I have people visit all over the country. I have people that are moving, and they're like, hey, pastor, can you help me find a good church? I'm like, absolutely. And pastors never answer the phone. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. But you need to have those conversations with the leader of the church. And if he puts you off to a secretary or maybe like a small group, you might want to wonder about that being a yellow light rather than a green light.
Yeah, I want to pick up on answering the phone when we come back from our first commercial break, because I do have a comment about that. If anybody likes to join us, send in your question to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, which would likely include any question that someone has regarding their own personal experience leaving a church. We don't want you to identify publicly churches that you perceive as having serious problems, because we wouldn't want to have that publicly reported unless we do our own investigation on your assessment. So we don't want to be guilty of slander or anything like that. So please remain anonymous if your question is about personal and private matters. But if it's a general question, give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. and look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit RoyalDiadem.com. That's RoyalDiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide monthly financial support for us automatically every single month, but on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com. So, with Christmas coming up, if you want to kill two birds with one stone, as they say, and bless someone that you love with a beautiful piece of jewelry, while at the same time helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air, go to RoyalDiadem.com and purchase your jewelry there for Christmas or for any other special occasion, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so we get 100% of the profits. And not only do they have a wide selection of breathtaking, stunning, head-turning, gorgeous jewelry at affordable prices in stock, but they will also, as the commercial you just heard states in quite detail, they will customize a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry according to your specifications. But either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we're now back with Pastor Christian McShaffrey. We are talking about joining and leaving a church. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. You were talking earlier about the frustrating experience of calling a church to ask them questions about what they believe or for any other reason, and nobody is answering, and perhaps you don't even ever get a phone call returned to you. I experience that frequently because on this program, I announce, as anybody who listens regularly knows, I announce that I will try to help our listeners who do not have a biblically faithful church home. I will help them find one, no matter where they live. And on some occasions, when I have to actually go an extra mile searching and go on to a search engine on the internet and so on, you will find churches that have no clear, detailed statement of faith, other than possibly they will have the bare bones minimum of, you know, true biblical teachings that we can all agree upon. But after that, you have no idea if they're Reformed, if they're Arminian, if they're if they're neither. And even amongst our Reformed churches, I can no longer have the luxury of saying, oh, great, you have a Presbyterian Church in America congregation near you. Now, let me give you the details, because there are so many, and I know a lot of wonderful, biblically faithful PCA pastors who will be the first to agree with me that there are many in their own denomination that have been corrupted by the woke movement and social justice warriors and all that kind of thing. I have experienced great frustration with having to call pastors to find out more about what they believe, because their websites are so inadequate. And yeah, I would say half the time I never get a call back.
Mm-hmm. So we went through this just last week. There was somebody listening to our program on the Bonson Institute, and you asked me to scout out a church in a remote area.
Oh, yeah.
My side of the country.
Right.
Yeah. I found one viable church, but I called and the Google subscriber has not set up his phone or voicemail or something. it's a dead end, and it's so frustrating. And to your comment about Reformed churches, I have a ruling elder who's sitting on session right now, and we first met through a telephone call. He called me in the afternoon and just said, I have a couple quick questions that might seem out of left field. And his first one was this: what do you think of wokeness and cultural Marxism? I said, well, it's of the devil, and it's satanic to its core. He goes, oh, I'll see you on Sunday. And he visited for a few months and became a member, and he and his family are so valued. But could you imagine, I guess, the maybe timid or overly careful, maybe pusillanimous pastor would halt at that question and maybe be afraid to be honest about cultural engagement and cultural issues. We can't have that, because people are hurting. They're in churches where they're feeling starved. They're in churches where they feel that there's a worldly agenda like coming as a tidal wave against them, or at very least eroding at the foundations of their values and their core beliefs. And they're looking. We need to be there. We need to help them. We need to make them feel safe and welcomed, and also have them be discerning, because you talk about diversity maybe within a Presbyterian denomination. Are you old school or new school? We should be able to just tell people in the first conversation, because it'll save us much grief in the end.
That's right. In fact, you just reminded me that I was living in the parsonage, the 19th century parsonage, before I moved into my current apartment. I was living in a 19th century parsonage of a Presbyterian pastor who was the first pastor of Second Presbyterian Church here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And that church was formed over a split with First Presbyterian Church over the old school versus new school.
Interesting.
And now those churches are barely distinguishable from each other. They're both in the PCUSA.
So I can't say this with any authority, but statistically, it seems that churches or denominations have about a 75 to 100 year time that they can hold on to their core distinctives, and they always then tend to drift. I think we've seen that amongst many denominations, especially in America.
Yes, and of course, I'm sure you would agree that before someone even arrives in a place where they're starting to go on a church search, if this is involving someone who has moved into a new area, that person should have been doing that search long before they left where they were. Don't you believe that far too often Christians do not make as an utmost priority the church where they will worship when they move to any particular location in the United States or the world for that matter? That seems to be like an afterthought.
It's actually a great tragedy. I've had probably three generations grow up in our church since I came as pastor, which means a lot of kids growing up, getting married, going to college, etc. And we always exhort them, don't even consider a location unless you have found a solid church and visited it to confirm that it truly is solid. But I now receive phone calls from people all over the nation who are wondering, where should I go? There's no churches by me. And, you know, you hate to say it, but they should have thought of that first of all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's a priority to make sure that you're in a Christ-exalting, Christ-obeying church before you move to college or even for a career. And I'd like to see a renewal of commitment so much to the Church of Christ that people would consider relocating. We actually have a relocation page on our website for people that are looking for an old-school Reformed Presbyterian church. And we give demographic information, employment information, median income information to help them evaluate that kind of a decision.
Oh, great. I don't know if you want at this point to move on to the more controversial area, probably.
Sure.
The one that involves more pain, the one that involves more loss of friendships and so on. And that is when to leave a church. Now, perhaps we should start with reasons that are completely biblical and acceptable, where those on both sides of the departure, both the one departing and the church leaders of the congregation from which that person is departing, they should be both understanding with grace and without any kind of mean-spiritedness or what have you, is when someone in a church has come to a theological position that is within the bounds of orthodoxy. I'm not talking about somebody who is denying the deity of Christ or something. But somebody like, for instance, you and I are from different schools of thought, if you will. I am a Reformed Baptist. You are an Orthodox Presbyterian. And there have been occasions where people from Reformed Baptist churches come to believe in and embrace infant baptism, and they have to approach their elders and say, hey, I love you guys with all my heart. You've been a blessing in my life, but I've come to believe in infant baptism, and I have a young and growing family. I really believe I belong in a place where the church will baptize my children. And then, of course, you have the reverse. You have people in paedo-baptist churches who have become convicted of credo baptism, the believer, the baptism of believers alone, and what that especially applies as a reason for departure is if they have young children, and maybe perhaps if they plan to have more children, and they're of an age where that can happen, and they're in a Presbyterian church that would insist that they have their children baptized? Because I know that not all Presbyterian churches make that requirement. I know some folks who are Baptist by conviction, and they're in a Presbyterian church that does not enforce the baptism of their children there. But in the mm-hmm. case where they feel that the only option is for them to leave, there should be no anger over those things. I don't find anything wrong with a loving attempts at persuading the person not to change their convictions back, I should say, to what they originally were. There's nothing improper about that. But we have to avoid being hostile in those cases, don't we?
Absolutely. And the church where I serve, we do not enforce infant baptism or family baptism. I've baptized just as many converts in immersion as I have through pouring. And I think that's something that we can do. Yeah. So we have been debating this doctrine for 400 years between the Presbyterian and the London Baptist brothers. And it's not going to be resolved. We have our firm convictions. I think the best we can do is understand the other person's case and accommodate it as best we can. So the way I do that is I accommodate it by offering late baptisms. We do offer immersion when there's a conviction of conscience. But we also have a request that you please don't make a stink. and don't stir up any trouble over this diversity of opinion. And we've had members for decades in our church who disagree on this doctrine. And if it began to bother them, I would bring them back to those first conversations. Like, we talked about this. We know about our diversity. And we both swore to our own hurt, as it were, so let's not change. And I think we can maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, even amidst differences concerning baptism, because sacraments are not essential to salvation. So I would be cautious about anybody who felt that they had to die on that hill and walk all alone into the dark night of no membership just because they disagreed on how much water or when. I don't think that's a good reason to break fellowship. But then again, if I was a young father, it would be a sin in my mind not to have my children welcomed into the covenant. So in my case, it would be more difficult. I'd probably have to find another church.
Yeah, you're talking about you personally.
Yeah.
Yes. And of course, there are other reasons why someone in with no malice, with no bitterness or really strong opposition to anything that is going on in the church where they are, they believe it is best that they leave. For, you know, there are reasons that we don't have time to articulate.
Sure.
But there are those occasions when it is improper. And if you want to go through some of your own thoughts on when a red light should go off in someone's own mind when they are contemplating leaving a church.
Yes. So sacraments, I'm going to call that negotiable differences, but there are definitely non-negotiable issues that are not only a red flag, but might require immediate exit from a church. The first would be false doctrine. Of course, there are different levels of heresy, but soul-damning heresy, such as a denial of the doctrine of the Trinity, the two natures of Christ, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, these are non-negotiables, and you cannot worship in a church that denies the fundamental doctrines of the Holy Scriptures. Come out from among them and be separate, is what the Bible says. And that would be my encouragement there. And what we believe in terms of our doctrine always affects our worship. So that's another non-negotiable. If you find yourself before the golden calf, and of course, metaphorically, you can't stay. You need to leave, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. So false doctrine, corrupt worship, worldly influence is a more subtle, but also non-negotiable. And that's where you get these agendas. We already talked about wokeism. Another one would be feminism, or even just this over-seeker-sensitive spirit where everything has to be gauged by how people feel. And you'll see that in effeminacy in the pastors, where they're afraid to stand for truth or to preach God's word. And that's just a red flag as well. But the most common reason I've seen over the years for people leaving churches, though, is unresolved offenses, interpersonal offenses. And that has to be taken off the table. We might think that's a non-negotiable, that I'm deeply offended. But Christ calls us to work through offenses very slowly and in a brotherly fashion. So by all means, false doctrine, corrupt worship, worldliness, walk out and do so peaceably and quietly. You don't have to make a stink. But if you have unresolved complaints and offenses, then it's time to communicate and slow down and figure out who's the problem here. Is it really that person, my pastor, that elder, or am I just embittered against them because of something that happened? And that's going to take communication, as I said, because there's no lawful excuse for breaking Christian fellowship over anger or bitterness and the like.
And I'm confident you would agree with me that in one circumstance that I was aware of, I was absolutely astonished in a case where there was a tragic circumstance of adultery occurring in a church.
Mm-hmm.
Both parties, the adulterous husband and the adulterous wife, came to repentance, but they remained in the same church. I thought that that was absurd, because of the added occasion for temptation and all that kind of thing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
So I don't know the situation, obviously, but marital infidelity is one of the things specifically mentioned in the New Testament for swift and harsh discipline. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 5, and he didn't even have to be there. He judged in the spirit as if he were there that you need to put out this evil thing from amongst your midst. And that is classic Old Covenant language. You could think of Achan or any of the things that were abominations in the camp of the saints. And they should be put out. You can't scandalize the holy ones of God by allowing sinners to remain in the midst. And by that, I don't mean sinners, because we're all sinners saved by grace. I mean those who are unrepentant or scandalous in their carriage. They have to be put out. And it's interesting, in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that such discipline is executed. So it's not a matter of being mean or exclusive. It's about vindicating the honor of our beautiful Savior and protecting his bride, the church. And we've had to do this in our local congregation. We had a scandalous marriage situation, and it was so sad. You had the separated couple on two opposite sides of the auditorium, prayer request time, and they would pray against each other.
Oh, wow.
Pray for my wife that she would repent of this unlawful divorce. And it was just so scandalous to the young ones there. It impacted their view of marriage and good order. And yes, it resulted in discipline.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And we do have some people waiting to have their questions asked on the air and answered. And we'll get to you as soon as we can. If you'd like to join them, submit your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here. former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Welcome back. Before I return to my fascinating conversation with Pastor Christian McShaffery regarding when to leave and join a church or when to join and leave a church, before I return to that conversation, I have some important reminders. Folks, if you really love this program and do not want it to go off the air, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate immediately, instantly, with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, business, professional practice like a law firm, medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. And that is especially true since we lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which was a Christian bookstore that had been in business for 50 years and had been a faithful supporter of ours that permanently closed its doors about a month ago. And a second advertiser is now gone, and third is on the brink of not being able to support us anymore. So we really need you to help us replace and replenish that lost income. But having said all of that, let me put it this way. I never want anyone in my audience to give your own church less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't ever do that. One of the pillars of founding Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in 2005 was to be a platform, a right arm, and a helping hand to the faithful local pastor and the faithful church. I never want to do anything that harms either, including financially. So please don't give your own church less money to bless us. And secondly, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more stable financially before you bless us. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Five Solas Church in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. I have biblically faithful churches listed globally, and I can help you find a church, God willing, no matter where you live on the planet Earth. And I've helped people already in my audience over the years, spanning the globe, find churches, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. That may be you too. So if you need a biblically faithful church home, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Christian McSheffery about when to join and when to leave a church. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We have Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. And Seth says, what is the proper way to leave a church that you believe has gone woke? And I guess one of the things that, I don't know if Seth is talking about himself or not, but one of the things would be to be really sure about the fact that they've gone woke and that it's not your opinion based on something you misunderstood or what have you.
Yeah, it's a very specific question, but let me offer your listeners a more general resource as we proceed. I do have an article published on Reformation 21. It's reformation21.org. Leaving a Church to the Glory of God. It's published in 2021, and it's 10 simple steps. So to answer the question, we'll go through them. First, engage in self-examination. Are you being overly sensitive? Are you being suspicious? Are you seeing what you think you're seeing? Stop and think about it. Pray about it. Fast. Don't be in a rush. Step two is determine the reason. What exactly is the problem? And here you'll probably have to talk to the pastor or the elders. And if they are going woke, or at least sympathetic to that godless worldview, then you may have just cause to leave. Step three would be seek godly counsel. There are obviously other people in the church. You should talk to your friends about your concerns before making a final decision. It's in the multitude of counselors that we find safety. Step number four would be honor your elders. Even though you might be leaving, you should do so in a respectful manner. Step five would be follow due process. Your church probably, like mine, has bylaws or a constitution that tells you how to move on, and you should follow that procedure. Don't just slam the door on the way out. Before you leave, this is step six, find your next church, because you don't want to end up in no man's land, ever in the middle of a decision. Make sure you know where you're going to go and that it's a good place to go. Then seven would be transfer your membership, nice orderly manner. Step number eight, watch your tongue. Slander does no good for the kingdom, especially to those who are outside or who might not understand your concerns about this particular doctrine. So we want to make sure that we're respectful to the brothers and sisters that we left. Step number nine, say your goodbyes. There's nothing worse than a person announces their departure and then visits 3 weeks later and confuses everybody. If you're going to go, then go and don't come back.
And I like that.
Well, yeah, I've seen it here in our church. And in fact, people feel bad. They're like, you know, pastor, we'll come back and visit. We may be able to send, you know, part of our tithe. And I say, no, you find a new church home, join it and stay there. Stay there. We have to change churches sometimes out of necessity and for conscience sake. But we should never be that proverbial church hopper that spends 2 years here, 2 years there, 5 years here. It does us no good. It prevents us from being rooted and grounded in the truth. And it also robs us of those rich relationships that the Lord has in store for us. So as a resource, Reformation 21, leaving a church to the glory of God, it can be applied to every situation, but also that of wokeness.
Yes. And by the way, Seth adds in his email, don't forget, he's talking to my audience here, don't forget to sign up for the next biannual pastor's luncheon. I've been to several, and they're always a tremendous blessing. Yes, and he's referring to my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free biannual pastor's luncheon on Thursday, March the 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's 2026, obviously, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. Conrad Mbewe, one of the most powerful preachers alive today, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, a Reformed Baptist church that is planting confessionally Reformed Baptist churches all over Africa. And he is also the founding chancellor of African Christian University, where Vodi Balcom served for 9 years before going home to the Lord. And just a total blessing. Everything is absolutely free, and everyone who attends gets a heavy sack of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. So if you want to register, if you're a man in ministry leadership, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Thank you for that reminder, Seth, in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Chris, can I offer one more word to Seth?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he brought up a specific topic, and I just wanted to point him to another resource that I've written. It was published in the Aquila Report and also on my website, fivesolas.church. Just search the bar for the false gospel of cultural Marxism, and you'll find a fairly thorough essay on the roots and the errors of wokeness. And it can also be a help as you seek maybe to help your elders or fellow members understand your concerns. So that would be the false gospel of cultural Marxism at Aquila Report or fivesolas.church.
Great. And as far as joining or the criteria for joining and leaving, sometimes people, and I've known a number of people like this, they're anal retentive, for lack of a better term. they want to make sure that the church that they join agrees with them on everything. And if they are in a church already and they're discovering that the church disagrees with them on various issues, they won't tolerate it. They will just pack up and leave. And sometimes, I'm not a mind reader, only Christ knows the hearts, but I think sometimes people are so finicky that they never join a church, or they're so finicky that they leave a church over trivial reasons. I think sometimes they do that just because they don't want to be accountable to anybody. They don't want to ever take the risk of being under discipline, or, you know, it could be a whole multitude of reasons. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a couple different kinds of people. The first, where they're just never going to be happy. I've come to call them Tobiah, you know, based on Nehemiah's experience. And they have no lot or place with us. And if they're not going to be happy no matter what, it's best to let them go and let them go early. Because there's nothing worse than quiet schism and disgruntledness in the Church of Jesus Christ. And they might not even be doing anything wrong, so I'm not talking about discipline. But sometimes you have to have a hard conversation and say, brother, I think you might be happier elsewhere. And I want you to be happy in the Lord. I want you to be growing. So may I recommend, you know, such and such Baptist church downtown, and send them away. That might seem like a hard word, but if they're not going to be happy, they're not going to be helpful. And that's part of our commitment as members of the body of Christ.
I remember years ago, a black Reformed Baptist pastor at a conference was admonishing the men in attendance who were predominantly pastors also. And he was talking about how all too often pastors get overly hung up on people who leave the congregation, and they just get consumed with the issue of trying to rescue them, bringing them back, and so on. He said, I have something that I say to all people who tell me they want to leave my church. And it goes like this. Bye. Now, that's an extreme, obviously. And
yes.
And I'm not saying that people should not, if they believe somebody's making a huge mistake of some kind, I'm not saying they shouldn't try to plead with them to think reasonably and so on. But there's a point, especially depending upon the attitude of the person, if they are always nitpicking and complaining, I don't think there's anything wrong with just saying, okay, bye.
Yeah, but I'll confess, Chris, especially early in my ministry, I used to experience deep grief and sadness because it would feel like personal rejection when somebody is so dissatisfied with your ministry that they can't bear it anymore. It's very hurtful, and you know, I don't want to sound like a baby because I'm not, but people that are hard on their pastors do need to think about whether they're being kind in the spirit, whether they're edifying the body, whether they're fulfilling the law of Christ. And sometimes people get so disappointed with others that they lose sight of their own shortfallings, and we all just need to grow up past that and realize that we're all brothers and sisters. We fail in many ways, and church membership is about a commitment. We haven't talked much about the positive aspects, but church membership is a commitment to be part of the family of God, and that should not be threatened lightly, and it shouldn't be forsaken lightly. You think about the metaphors that the Bible gives us. The church is a kingdom. Are you a citizen or not? Are we going to stand at arms together or not? The church is a flock. Are you within the gates of the Good Shepherd? Are we both sheep? The church is a temple. Are we lively stones that are joined together? The church is a body. Are you a member? It's a household. Are you one of my family members? If so, then we should be very slow to break those fellowship bonds that we have in the spirit and just learn to love each other. I know it sounds kind of cliche, but we have to learn to love one another.
Now, as a pastor, do you have any counsel to other pastors and elders listening where preventative measures should be put in place where, just to give you an example, and this is just one reason people leave a church, they don't believe their gifts are being used, for instance. That could be a legitimate complaint. It could be somebody who just wants to be the center of attention. Who knows? But there are all kinds of people that make that complaint. But I think it could be, as I said, a legitimate complaint. And don't leaders, this is just one thing that they'll have you expand upon, but then bring up your own things perhaps, that elders should be very aware of the gifts of those in the church. And if they're not, they should be getting to know their congregation in a deeper way so that they do become aware of some of these things that might even pleasantly shock them or surprise them and put them to use in some way. I'm not necessarily saying leadership or an office, but I'm not saying that they should. I remember hearing the story. Somebody that I knew who was raised in a United Methodist church, and he clearly remembers a wife complaining that her husband never comes to church. And the pastor said, you know something, we should make him a deacon. That will make him have reasons for staying. You know, how ridiculous is that? Am I making sense here, though, about preventative measures? Yeah.
Yeah.
Any thoughts of your own about that?
Yeah, that's a ridiculous example, but I've seen that kind of thing happen. So preventative measures would include a few things, just reflecting on our own ministry here in Reedsburg. First, the elders have to have a very clear vision for what the church is going to be and what it's not going to be. And we've taken the time in our elder board to figure out who we are. And we're quite inflexible about that. And we make sure everybody knows we're not a church with programs. We don't do those kind of things. We try to keep it simple. So some might feel there's no opportunity for me to serve here because it's just the pastors and the elders and their vision for kingdom business. But a clear vision allows for creating opportunities to serve. And I'll frequently put things in the bulletin or on the bulletin board. We need somebody to do this. And if somebody complains that they never use their gifts, I always ask, do you read the bulletin? There are plenty of things that we're asking for people to do. And then also we created this thing called member-sponsored events. It was one of the best decisions I ever made because people wanted to utilize their gifts and have these events and do these things. And they would send it to the pastor and the elders for approval. And like, seriously, we have to approve a PG movie? And what if somebody's offended of it, you know, and do we want that responsibility? So we stopped and said, if you want to exercise the general office of believer and invite people to come do things with you at your house or even use the church building, we'll put it in the bulletin. It's called a member-sponsored event, and you're responsible for the content of that event. So then it frees people up just to be brothers and sisters and to more naturally connect as members of the body. Christmas party, you know, movie night, hunting together. Elders shouldn't have their fingers in any of that kind of stuff.
And of course, you would have to approve of it to some degree. I mean, hey, come to my house for the animal sacrifice in my backyard.
Yeah, if it makes it into the bulletin, that means the pastor exercising an executive authority. But then there's an asterisk so he can have an excuse of why it didn't work out as well as it should have. And here's the thing about gifts, though. People think they have gifts that they don't.
Yes.
And
I've been in many churches, and there's few things in the world more uncomfortable than sitting in a church where a woman or man is announced as their special music for that day of worship. And someone has convinced this person that they can actually sing well, and they're horrible. And you can't help but thinking, does anybody really love this person enough to tell them, you don't have that gift? I love you. You could do many other things in life, but this isn't one of them.
Yeah, let's talk about preventative measures. Just don't have special music in the worship service.
There you go.
There are plenty of opportunities when we can get together and make music to the Lord, even with an ensemble or a small choir, but we don't have to jam it in to the public worship of the thrice holy God.
That is a conviction of mine that has been with me for a long time. And that's why I believe the songs that we sing should be designed for congregational worship, where they are meant for many people to be singing them at the same time.
Amen.
And so go through some of the other reasons before we go to our final break that are most common in your experience as a pastor, why people have wrongly left either the church where you pastored or just cases that you've heard about from other colleagues in ministry.
So actually, the deeper problem I've seen, people that join churches and have good reasons to do so typically stay there unless something goes wrong. I don't know about where you are, but here, there is an entire segment of the Christian population that doesn't even believe that church membership is necessary.
Yeah, I've encountered that all my life as a Christian going back to the 80s.
Yeah, I can't believe it. People come and go, and while they're there, they vote, and they would say that they're a member, but there is no official communion. There's no official covenant between the person and the congregation. And, you know, I have people object, you know, when we insist on church membership. It's in our bulletin as a standard for coming to the Lord's Supper, which we have every single week. So if you're not a member, you're hearing that every week. We admit those who are members of a Protestant church that maintains the purity of the Holy Gospel. And I'm aghast at how many people seem not to hear it. It goes in one ear and out the other, and they don't even believe that this is a reality. So I would love to have people examine the doctrine of biblical membership from Scripture and see that it's not only, well, here's what they say, where is it commanded? Give me a command. That actually doesn't work out in people's favor because it's just assumed. And there are also commands you can't keep if you're not a member of a local congregation. Think about Hebrews 13, about obeying those who are over you in the Lord. Who is that? And for me as a pastor, that same passage tells me I have to give an account, so I better do my job. And it's so refreshing to know exactly how many people that I'm accountable for on the day of judgment. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't sleep at night. So I think people treat, I hate to say it this way, but they treat the church like fast food or like entertainment. And so long as they're happy and feeling that their felt needs are being met, they stay. But as soon as they might see something better or more intriguing, they just try something different. And that's no way to live. It doesn't honor Christ or his bride.
Okay, we have Warren in Danbury, Connecticut. And Warren says that I have come to appreciate the fact that Reformed Baptists who believe in associationism believe it is very vital that we have third-party participation when there is an unresolved conflict with people in the church, especially if it is between elders or elders and members of the church, because of the fact that that demonstrates humility and a desire to have wisdom and more than one or two people, and an outside view of things can be clearer and less biased. And I know that you folks who are Presbyterians have presbyteries, but isn't this third-party participation vital when it comes to unresolved disputes?
Yeah, it was Warren. That's yes. A great point. I do prefer the Presbyterian system for those reasons and more. And I am very happy to see my Reformed Baptist brothers, at least some of them, leaning in that direction. First, my first point is always proper ordination. The Bible talks about being ordained through the laying on of hands of the presbytery, which is a group of elders, a group of church leaders. And if all you have is a local church, it's like, well, I'll ordain you if you ordain me, and you start up from scratch, I guess. It's much better to have a regional body of elders to oversee the examination and ordination of men. But also, take it to the church. That's part of our doctrine of discipline. And of course, that means take it to your local church. But what if they make a mistake? What if they don't seek justice? What if the leaders of the local church are abusers or tyrants or maybe slack and lazy? In such cases, the sheep get hurt and they have no court of appeal. So I think it is good and necessary that a member may appeal the decision of their local elders and seek help. Some call it of a higher court, some call it a broader court, but it's absolutely necessary for the maintenance of justice in the kingdom of God.
Amen. We are going to go to the final break right now, and if anybody has a question of their own, send it in now because we are running out of time. So make sure that you send it in as soon as you can. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word,
and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. Also, folks, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, I want to give everyone the good news, who loves every time I interview Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. He is our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I've been hearing from so many of you who have informed me of how much they love my interviews with Dr. Moorcraft, and they urge me to keep inviting him back. I have grown really fond of this dear brother, and he's going to be discussing the theme of a book, which you can actually download for free off of his website, Leviticus, The Life of Holiness. That will be tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. Also, in addition, I mentioned earlier, by the prodding of our listener in Hummelstown, Seth, I mentioned about our upcoming free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon featuring Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, Thursday, March 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville. That's for men in ministry leadership only, and it's absolutely free. But I forgot to mention that Dr. Mbewe will be also preaching at the church where I'm a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the night before the luncheon, Wednesday, March the 4th at 7 p.m., and that is open to one and all men, women, and children. If you would want more information on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, go to trbccarlisle.org. trbccarlisle.org, and you'll have directions and everything else you need to know. We hope to see you there. Before I take any other listener question, I'd like you to give some more counsel and clarity when it comes to your views on when to and when not to leave a church.
Sure, brother. First, if you're not a member of a church, then you're not where you need to be as a child of God. I think it's most important that I could convince you of that. Even though you might be hesitant, this might be a new concept for you, it is not sufficient simply to love God by yourself and all alone. A few examples from the Bible that I would encourage you to study. Psalm 87 talks about God counting his people and counting it a good thing to be in the church, to be born in the church. And counting is math language. You need to be on a church roll. In the book of Acts, we find phrases like added to the church and other people that dared not to join the church after judgments fell. And again, added is math language. You need to be on a roll. If you can't be disciplined, then you're not right with Christ, because he commanded the process of church discipline. And if you can't be put out of his church, then you're presently not in his church. More practically, 1 Timothy talks about deacons and their responsibility to take care of widows, but there are listed legitimate widows and illegitimate widows, and the deacons are told to keep a list of those who are true widows. Also, calling of ministers is to take heed, keep watch over all the flock, and that would be an impossible command if church membership on a local level didn't exist. We're only responsible for those who are of us. So if you're not part of a church, I would encourage you, by the mercies of Christ, consider joining a church and reach out to the host or to myself if you need help finding one. Now to the negative, if you're in a church that is doctrinally compromised or whose worship service looks more like a late night talk show or a pop concert than anything else, or if you're hearing agendas that are from the world and of the world, like feminism and wokeness and egalitarianism, you need to have some conversations with your elders and share your concerns. And if you're seeing things wrongly, fine, repent, let it go. But if they double down, you might have to consider transferring to a more faithful body of Christ. If you do that, I would beseech you to do it in an orderly and brotherly and peaceful manner. There's no need to fight. Just move on and serve the Lord with those who are like-minded. There's much benefit in that.
Amen. And we do have an excellent question from Grayson in Ipswich, Massachusetts. And Grayson says, how much does a person have to agree with you theologically, other than the main points of the Christian faith that are salvific, in order to be welcomed into membership in your congregation? That's an excellent question. It hits home with me because, and I have no idea if you're going to agree with my own elder's approach. This is the elders I had when I was first saved, not where I am now. But when I was a new Christian, I was vehemently opposed to what I was hearing about Calvinism. Thank God, as you can tell, I eventually became, by God's mercy, a believer in the doctrines of grace. Mm-hmm. But initially, I was not. And when I was being interviewed for baptism, I said to my elders, I love you guys. I trust you to be shepherds over my soul. I love this church. But I don't know if I'm ever going to become one of these Calvinists. It really is eerie to me. I just don't think that you'll ever convince me of it. And they said to me, well, first of all, you don't have to be a Calvinist for us to baptize you. We believe that you're born again. We believe that you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that you've repented. And we will baptize you, and we will even welcome you into membership. But we want you to assure us that you will never seek to undermine the teaching here, that you will recognize what we teach, that you will never seek to cause division in the church. You will never badmouth sermons. You will never whisper in other people's ears how much you disagree with our theology. If you could accept those terms, we would be more than happy to welcome you into membership. And that's exactly what happened. And I was given George Whitefield's letter to John Wesley on election by a member. And I read it, and I didn't even know who Whitefield or Wesley were. But Whitefield had so much biblical proof of the doctrine of sovereign grace, and in particular, unconditional election. And I became convinced, but my immediate reaction was, oh, no, this is true, but I still hate it. But then within a couple of months, I fell in love with those teachings. But I still agree with what my elders did. I don't know what your approach would be.
Yeah, our approach would be very similar. We have had Arminians join the church and grow in grace and knowledge and serve us in peace. So let me tell you two answers to the question. First, what we require of people. This would be the agreement of membership or the commitments of membership. We want and need to hear from them a credible profession of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we help them discern that by giving them five things that they must agree to. They have to confess the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the classic doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Secondly, they have to confess Christ as the Son of God, come in the flesh. Third, we need to hear an affirmation that they abhor themselves and that they repent and that they trust in Christ alone for their salvation. Fourth, and more practically, we need them to commit to a life of obedience through discipleship in the local church. And finally, this is the hard one for some, they have to agree to submit in the Lord to the government of the church in case they're found delinquent in doctrine or in life. And if a person can from the heart agree with those things, and I think they're very simple, there's no Calvinism there, there's no Arminianism there, we welcome them into membership. But we also do so with an earnest request, and I just started this year. We ask people to read our confession of faith from cover to cover. And they don't have to agree with it. I invite them to highlight it and mark it up and come talk to me about it. But we think they need to know what we believe in full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's only fair to them, and it also gets ahead of problems concerning disagreement and schism. So, yeah, very basic profession of faith, and we will admit you into membership and welcome you as a brother with diversity of opinion on certain subjects. You do have to know what we believe because we don't want you surprised
right.
by what you hear in the pulpit.
Of course. Yeah, I think that the danger is there's a couple of dangers, and I'm sure there's more than I'm even thinking of. The danger to insist that somebody is in agreement with a confession before they are admitted into membership. If the person's honest, it's going to delay them obeying Christ by being a member of a church. Mm-hmm. It's going to delay, possibly even for years, the person being welcome to the Lord's table and all kinds of things. And that would especially be catastrophic if you're talking about a married couple where one of the spouses agrees with the confession and is welcomed into membership and the other isn't.
Mm.
But then I think that you're going to have a lot of people giving lip service out of a deep desire to be a member of that, whatever church that happens to be. And they're, yeah, sure, whatever you say, kind of a thing.
Right.
I agree with this stuff, and they really don't. I've been amazed how many times I've met people who have been members of confessionally reformed churches for over a decade, and when I have conversations with them, they're clueless about theology. And I'm like, how could this possibly be? And it's not because the pastor hasn't been teaching these things. You know, it's just mind-boggling. But anyway.
Well, one thing I've learned over the years is people are going to believe what they want to believe. And as gifted as we may be in preaching and teaching and apologetics, people end up believing what they want to believe in the end. And I've come to accept that. And I think it's biblical. I mean, him that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So it's an obligation to receive that weak or ignorant brother as a brother, but not with doubtful disputations always arising. So another point of disagreement that I've been amazed at over the years is as a Reformed church, you know, we're not committed to premillennial dispensationalism or Zionism or any of that. But so many of the people that visit and even join come from that background. And you might explain the differences of eschatology, and it sounds fine. Like, yeah, let's not argue about that. But some of the commitments of the premillennial dispensational Zionist system are deep, and they affect so many different areas of theology. So sometimes, and in all fairness to those who want to obey Christ, we need to slow down and have some long and careful conversations about the Word of God and what you believe and why you believe it. And there's no harm in that.
Well, I'd like you to spend the remaining 4 minutes really summarizing what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Okay, Christ is king, and he has a kingdom. His kingdom rules over all, in heaven and on earth, but it is specially manifested in the institution that we call the visible church. That church is an organization. It's organic, but it's also institutional. So we have to allow for the blending in our minds, metaphors and ideas like body, kingdom, government, connection, law, order. It is the best and most beautiful institution on the face of the earth, and we should be members of it because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. As a kingdom, you will find within it a constitution, which is the word of God, and sometimes some subordinate documents. You'll find officers who have been delegated with authority from their king, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find that he gives, as the Prince of Peace, unity and love and a felt experience of peace with God and with one another on the Lord's Day. You will also find that as a true king who loves order and justice, there will be times when people are escorted out of his kingdom because of sin and scandal and heresy. In the end, this feeble and mixed thing that we call the visible church on earth will become the church in heaven. When the new Jerusalem comes down in glory, when we have a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, where the King of Glory rules over all, and where he loves in the final and most consummated manner, where he loves his bride, the church. And that joy, that hope, that vision begins now as we commit ourselves to that body, which is his bride, knowing that he loved her and gave himself for her, and that he will protect her, sanctify her, and someday glorify her. That's who we are, is the people of God.
Amen. Well, Ed, it has certainly been a delight to have you on the program again. I look forward to future visits from you. And feel free to contact me anytime if you have a topic idea that you'd like to address. And I want to remind our listeners that if you would like to find out more about Five Solas Church, which is an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, you can go to fivesolas.church, fivesolas.church, and it's the word five, F-I-V-E, solas.church. Do you have any other contact information you care to share?
Well, I have another website. It's called textandtranslation.org, and you'll find other aspects of my writing and contribution to theology there. Otherwise, there's contact forms on both websites, so feel free to contact me if you want to.
Great, and that's textand, A-N-D, translations?
Correct, textandtranslation.org. My phone number is on that website, and I will answer it if you call.
textandtranslationsingular.org.
Correct.
Okay. Well, it has truly been a joy. And once again, pray for our friend Bill Shishko that he heals quickly from his back pain, his excruciating back pain that prevented him from participating today. Once again, folks, we lost two major sponsors of the show. So please, if you can, go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And remember us if you want to advertise your church, parachurch ministry, your business. And please keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I always love hearing from you all over the world. Every week I get emails from those of you who tell me how much this program means to you. and it blesses me beyond my ability to describe in the English language. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.